Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 27, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn: What Sarah Halimi's Murder Tells Us. On Sunday, thousands of people demonstrated in Paris to protest the recent decision by the French Court of Cassation to absolve the 2017 murderer of Sarah Halimi of criminal responsibility because he took cannabis before he killed her. Paris was the center of the protests, but demonstrations also took place in Tel Aviv, London, Rome, New York, Los Angeles, and several other cities around the world. As warped as this ruling seems to be, Jews should not expect justice anywhere in the world. Justice means that there is balance between good and bad, but there is none of it today. Wherever you look, evil reigns. Sarah Halimi was a Jewish woman aged 65. On April 4, 2017, her Muslim neighbor, 27 years old Kobli Traor, broke into her apartment on the third floor, beat her savagely, and threw her out the window to her death while shouting in Arabic, "Allahu Akbar, Allah is great." After the murder, he declared, "I killed the Shaitan," Arabic, evil spirit. Initially, French authorities would not label the murder as anti-Semitic until public criticism forced them to acknowledge it as such. However, in 2019, when the verdict was finally given, the assailant was declared mentally unfit for trial because he had consumed cannabis, which induced a state of psychosis. The decision was appealed, but a few days ago, the Supreme Court of Cassation upheld the lower court's ruling. As a result, according to the Jerusalem Post, Traor gets to walk free. As warped as this ruling seems to be, Jews should not expect justice anywhere in the world. Justice means that there is balance between good and bad, but there is none of it today. Wherever you look, evil reigns. Even worse, the only ones who can bring about balance between good and bad are the Jews. Therefore, since bad is reigning, the Jews both suffer from it, and are accused of creating it. Jews don't create the bad. Humans are inherently bad, or as it is written, "The inclination of a man's heart is evil from his youth," Gen. 8:21. However, Jews are meant to bring about the good, the kindness on which Abraham founded the nation, and which generations of prophets and spiritual leaders cultivated above countless regressions into mutual hatred. The key criterion for spotting anti-Semitism is double standard. When someone judges Jews by a different yardstick than they judge people of other nations. However, this is the common yardstick. Few people relate to Jews the way they relate to members of other nations because, even if they're unaware of it, people expect Jews to set an example of kindness, mutual responsibility, and all the things that are the tenets of our faith. When we don't cultivate these qualities and don't display them toward each other, the nations follow our example and blame us for all the hatred there is around them. After all, without the example of the nation who is supposed to be a light unto nations, what can you expect from the rest of the world? Take, for example, Ukraine-born Vasily Shulgin, who was a senior member of the Duma, the Russian parliament, before the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution, and a rabid self-proclaimed anti-Semite. In his book What We Don't Like About Them, he explained what he thought was the problem with Jews. Shulgin complained that Jews in the 20th century have become very smart, effective, and vigorous at exploiting other people's ideas. But all of a sudden, he takes a sharp turn from the trite canard and declares, "But, this is not an occupation for teachers and prophets, not the role of the guides of the blind, not the role of the carriers of the lame. Indeed, the world needs a messenger of kindness. Just as Abraham did in antiquity, now it is upon us, Jews. Until we accept this idea and take upon ourselves the mission to balance evil with goodness, the world will continue to relate to us as Shaitan." Michael Leitman, on Quora: What is the real essence, true self, of the person? How can we differentiate it with personality? Can you explain more about essence? How do we see the essence of a person? Nature divides into four levels: inanimate, vegetative, animate and human. We currently belong to the animate level, because like animals, we engage in maintaining our body and earthly life. Animals, however, instinctively provide for themselves. We, on the other hand, in addition to instincts, are influenced by society. In other words, animals live in a framework that guides them to secure their survival, whereas we are directed by society in addition to our instincts. In principle, animals also have families, groups and leaders. However, their hierarchies and struggles are based on a natural and instinctive control that emerges from within, which makes their realization direct and simple. We have a much more complex situation than animals. We are unaware of how to act in connection with each other, with the surrounding society, and how society influences us, and determines our development and values. In this respect, we are much more confused and miserable than animals, which know exactly what they want, and what they need to do in order to secure their survival, as much as their environment and the ecology allows. We humans, on the other hand, self-destruct. Nature supplies us with additional abilities to transcend our earthly development, and when we use this excess in the direction of our earthly development, solely in the plane of serving our egoistic desires, then we try to fulfill ourselves excessively with food, sex, wealth, and so on. As a result, we find no lasting or meaningful happiness, no real gains, but on the contrary, a life that becomes darker and emptier. If instead of trying to direct the additional abilities nature gives us, to self-benefit at the expense of others and nature, which leads us into a growing chasm, we would use our social desires for money, respect, control and knowledge as a means to achieve a higher level of reality, the human level, then we would reach that level to its fullest, a state of positive connection among us, and the discovery of a new life of happiness, confidence, harmony and balance with nature. Based on CabTV's close-up with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on August 19, 2009. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. A two-dimensional world. Question: the topic of hidden dimensions around us is widely discussed in social networks now. Many assumptions are made, based on evidence or not. What are the hidden dimensions from the point of view of Kabbalah? Answer: there is only one hidden dimension that exists around us, the quality of bestowal, which we cannot simply emanate from ourselves. We live in an egoistic dimension, which is to attract to ourselves everything considered good, necessary, and useful to us. And the opposite, the quality of bestowal, is absolutely unknown to us. If we could add it to our quality of reception, then we would be able to clearly depict the full picture of the world. Question: that is, a person does not feel these dimensions at the current moment? Answer: he more or less feels the dimension of reception to a very limited extent. But the dimension of bestowal, number question, can we say that this is a two-dimensional world? Answer: it is a two-dimensional world and no more than that, the world of reception and the world of bestowal. If they complement each other, then from them a person gets an n-dimensional space. Everything is felt only relative to a person. Question: can there be a world with dimensions where I am not? Answer: no, it exists only subjectively, relative to you. Question: could there be a world with dimensions where all people are good and everything is corrected? Answer: if they make it that way. Question: so, everything still depends on man? Answer: certainly. Man is in the center. From CabTV's Kabbalah Express, April 12, 2021. See and find out. Question: when the law love your neighbor as yourself is revealed, does it feel like an unshakable law? Answer: the absolute law. the operational law of the entire universe, ours and the spiritual, absolute in all its power and amplitude. We must achieve this property and then we will feel that this law really governs. For example, we have a property similar to the law of universal attraction, and we feel its influence on ourselves. And there are some properties that are absent in us, and we do not feel their impact. But this does not mean that they do not affect us. It turns out that the absence of their sensation and perception is the source of all our suffering. If we knew that the law of universal love exists around us, and that those who do not obey it immediately harm themselves, then everyone would be righteous. Therefore, the Creator specifically made us, sinners, so that we would want to rise to the level of these laws ourselves, to reveal and fulfill them. He deliberately created us, in such conditions and hid everything else from us. But that does not mean you are not suffering. You suffer because you do not know them, do not realize them. Comment: this is cruel. The Creator put us, in states of blindness and deafness. People are suffering. My response: you need to learn, reveal, and then you will understand why He put us, in a state of concealment and made everything so horrible. Question: and maybe later it will turn out how good it is that He did this? Answer: then you will see. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 11. Above the speed of light. Question: we learn that all desires in us are initiated by the upper light and transferred through the Reshimo, information record. In quantum physics, the so-called informational interactions without any carrier are now very actively examined. Some of these influences are transmitted even above the speed of light, practically instantaneously. Is it possible to say that the same mechanism exists in the transmission of the Reshimo? Answer: that there is an interaction above the speed of light, I think can be understood even by our mind. In principle, if our universe, this gigantic space, could not instantly interact with each other from its different points, then this system would not function. It would simply not exist. There would be chaos everywhere. So, we study this so-called chaos and see more and more clear laws in it. Moreover, such that we will grasp and understand what is hidden there. But nonetheless, these are laws. After all, laws are interactions between various causes, consequences, and conditions. Of course, they exist above the speed of light. But in Kabbalah, instantaneous speed is not considered something inconceivable because it works not with matter, but with intentions and thoughts. It is an absolutely different space. There is nothing there that is restricted by matter, time, or movement. Question: there is a long-standing dispute between scientists about short-range and long-range actions. Do you think that the correct approach is action at a distance, when the action is transmitted instantaneously to all parts? Answer: any small action evokes one instant reaction in all parts of creation. We have to nevertheless admit that, based on our practice of observing the cosmos, as we see that it is some incomprehensible small part. Maybe it is because we do not see the full picture. But this is only our initial knowledge. What can we talk about here? We observe only the mechanical part of the universe, inanimate nature. Where is the rest of it? All this we have yet to be revealed. But the fact that the whole system of nature is interconnected, Kabbalah talks about this from the first line. Kabbalah talks about the creation of the world, the creation of the universe, the creation of all matter. That it all comes from one root and these are all the forces of dissemination, which are in full connection and interaction with each other. From Cab TV's Meetings with Kabbalah, March 22, 2019. To perceive the world as it is. Question: can we say that collective consciousness is a qualitatively new level and Kabbalah is engaged in teaching people to reach a new level of perception of reality? Answer: no, I would not say that, because in this case the consciousness should be completely the opposite of the earthly one. If we all receive everything within ourselves and in our primordial natural properties feel this reflection, as, for example, on a photographic film, then the Kabbalistic perception is completely different. It remains by itself, and the person who cancels his egoism and can enter into the perception of reality without disturbing it, feels it as it is. That is, not in the egoistic properties, but precisely in the degree of similarity of its properties to all possible properties and actions that occur outside of it. Kabbalah comprehends the world that does not pass through our senses. A person, developing himself, makes special efforts on himself in order to begin to feel the Kabbalistic world, to be able to enter a state where he is absolutely not an egoist and perceives everything not in himself, but outside of himself. In practice, he is removed from any interaction with the outside world. Does the world around you exist by itself? Exists. I perceive it in myself, which means that I perceive it egoistically. We build our sciences on the basis of what we perceive, either by ourselves or with the help of devices we invent. And Kabbalah says, no, let us perceive the world as it is. First of all, we need to reach a state when we, annul ourselves, begin to feel as if we do not exist, and, consequently, begin to feel the true world around us. And as we annul ourselves step by step, we begin to feel everything that happens in that world. This is the whole science of Kabbalah. From KabTV's meeting with Kabbalah March 29, 2019.